This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hanging out, Buffalo's Cafe incoming. And I got to tell you, it's been a great time up here, having a lot of fun, meeting a lot of fun people, seeing some familiar faces, and seeing some new faces as well. And thank you guys for hanging out with us. Hello, how are you? You just joined the party. Yes? these are friends here?
And they're loyal listeners,
That's too. Your brother. Oh, awesome.
You realize the woman right there, the brunette, she came all the way from Peru just to see the show today.
Are you serious?
To be at Buffalo's Cafe.
I told you we were worldwide.
She flew from Lima. She just got in. She went through customs, and here she is.
That's amazing. So thank you, guys. So that's your brother, and that is obviously his lovely lady.
His lovely bride.
All right. Terrific. Well, thank
also
you, guys.
Also known, as they say in Latin America, as his mamacita.
So we're out here, man. Braves have some work to do. We're going to talk with Grant coming up, and he'll join us. Pushed him back a little bit tonight. We told you the lineup's different, and we'll ask Grant about this. I don't think this is, by the way, guy hit me up. Snit's already panicking. No, he's
whoa,
not.
Whoa, time out.
No, he's not.
You know, you know what? Where is – this is the – you know, I never want to sound like I'm talking down to people.
Don't do it, Mike.
But there are some Braves fans. I want to take their heads and – smack them together. Snitker guy should have been the NL Manager of the Year last year. These guys aren't hitting, okay? The pitching, yeah, it's been okay, but still, you get to the bullpen, oh my God, let's rewind. Two guys have been here and already been DFA'd.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not happening with some of the teams that you guys expect to win the World Series.
No, not at all. So, little different change with the lineup. A little bit of focus, Mike, as we've been talking about all the things that are going on around the NFL too, and we played some of that a conversation from Steve Weiss from NFL Network as he sat down with Arthur Blank in the 5 o'clock hour. But there are some other things that are happening. And, Mike, you know, the buildup to the draft, guys, we are a few weeks away.
Right.
And over the next few weeks, we will try to focus in a little bit more on specific players that we're hearing about that the Falcons may be interested in. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'm just, you know, Mike and I have said this, they've been to workouts that you don't know about.
Really, a lot of, you know, we see this is why you were laughing at me, and I said, don't say you're only talking defensive players
at the combine,
because it just, you know, I get it. You want to send the message, look, we're the, like John Wayne, and this year we're going to hunker down and draft some more defense. But I mean, you got to look at the big picture, and you may take the best athlete, and he might be on the offensive side.
He might be.
You know, even though it's going to drive the fan base crazy, but that's, don't let the tail wag the dog.
No, I guess. You listen, if you're a believer that they say they're going to take the best player on the board, and if that best player is a left tackle out of the University of Texas, then you take him.
So does Jake become the right tackle in that world?
No, you just realize Jake is getting long in the tooth. And you say, hey, he's been great and durable.
You trust McGarry protecting the blind side?
Well, this gives you some options there too, Mike, potentially. Okay. Maybe you could start a guy at right tackle and then move him over. I'm just simply saying that, for me, it's not going to be a disappointment. I don't want to say that. Because, again, if it's a guy that can really help protect our quarterback, which is going to be our main investment, I'm all for it. But I also think you can't stress to the fan base that our defense has to get better and then not draft the defensive guy. Like, that's going to drive me nuts, because what you're saying is one thing and then what we're doing is another. So with all of that said, we're going to try to lock down and focus in on some of the main characters as far as the guys that we really think that are in play here. They're saying everybody's in play. I'm here to tell you that's not true. Everybody's not in play. There's about probably right now 10 guys, and all this has to do with contingency plans. There's really probably about 3 guys that they want at 15, Mike, and that depends on if they keep the pick. And then these other guys are, if these guys aren't there, and you start talking about what ifs and what happens.
Right.
So I'm just telling you, the focus now with all these workouts and like Shador, you know, Shador Sanders, and we don't need a quarterback, but the point is these workouts that have happened in these pro days, they've been at most of them. They've been at all of the guys that they're interested in, and they've brought in all of the guys. They got their 30 visits, Mike. A lot of this stuff hasn't been reported. A lot of these guys have come to Flowery. They've talked to them, checked them out. They know where they want to go. I think they have an idea in this draft.
So do you think at the end of the day it's still going to be Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, Shador Sanders, and it's still going to be chalk, just like the March Madness?
Are you not buying the Shador
I don't stuff. Buy Shador. I think the teams that are negative selling Shador are teams that want Shador to fall to them.
I think so,
in
too.
In a time out of tradition, you know, other than Lamar Jackson, the treatment he got a couple of years back. But I just can't buy it. I know that Jackson Dart is high on some people. Quinn Ewers is not an NFL player. I've seen Quinn Ewers went up against the Georgia Bulldogs and got beat, how many times?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it. And I know that he rallied against Arizona State, but that is truly lesser competition.
No, I don't – listen.
I don't buy Quinn Ewers as an NFL quarterback.
I agree with you on this, and it's hard for me to even say that.
I know you're a Texas guy. But
that's hard. Yeah. I'm with you. Listen, Quinn had a ceiling. We like to talk about this, right? And he did as much as he can do. It's why so many people are excited about Arch Manning taking over. But, Mike, here's the thing. Yes, I do think Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, when you talk about the top three picks.
Hunter of the Patriots seems to be like a lock right now.
Well, so – but this is what I want to say. If the Titans, who have the number one pick, do not take a quarterback – they are then saying they are good with Will Levis.
Or they're open for business for maybe a Kirk Cousins.
Okay. So that pick is going to play a role in what plays out with the rest of this quarterback stuff as we talk about who's available and who may want to trade for Kirk. But if they take Abdul Carter, Mike, and say, you know what, we're going to get the best edge rusher in this draft, and then let's just say, Travis Hunter goes to the Browns because they're going to figure out their quarterback situation.
Right.
Then you're talking about Cam and Shador sitting there at, potentially 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, and all of a sudden now they start to potentially fall, and you start saying, who's going to take them? There are more people who are saying this is a weak quarterback class than there are saying this is a strong quarterback class, and there's going to be 4 or 5 quarterbacks taken in the first 20 picks.
Well, that's the argument against Shador Sanders. There's some guys saying Shador Sanders wouldn't be considered a number two, a top, 20, a top 15 in any other draft. I'm not saying he's as bad as what, happened a couple years ago with Pickett to the Steelers.
Yes.
Where they kind of forced it. But I just wonder, would the Raiders pass on Shador Sanders if he gets the 6? Would the Jets be happy? See, here's where it gets interesting. Are the Jets truly satisfied with what they're going to roll the dice with Justin Fields at 7? If Shador Sanders is – you want to reinvigorate the fan base? We'll find out. But the good news for the Falcons is – if we can find some kind of crazy team to jump ahead and go quarterback crazy, then maybe we can get a Georgia Bulldog. Maybe we wind up with a, whoever you feel is the elite edge rusher, Mike Green. People have talked about him. Some guys are lukewarm on Shamar Stewart. At this point,
you're okay.
I think I'm okay with him.
I'm okay.
I think
with
he fits some needs.
Well, look, the thing that impressed me most was him showing up at the combine in shape, and then the combine he had showed you he's got all the tools. He can do everything.
Right.
So, we talk about left tackle too, Mike. I don't want to disparage Will Campbell, kid out of LSU, very good, highly rated. And the point is, there's more than one of these guys. When you start talking about offensive linemen and tackles, there's probably about 4 or 5 guys that may end up going in the first round. And that, I know that sounds crazy. That's why I think the Falcons are looking at this.
Well, here's the thing. Even if we're not going to draft an offensive tackle, we're happy with Ryan McGary. Let's create – this is where we get into this poker game nonsense.
Yes.
Just like we've been basically fibbing this whole time about our intentions with Kirk Cousins, we're going to have him on the roster. And Arthur Blank kind of echoed those sentiments with Steve Wyche to keep that front going. We're willing to take this guy through the season. But I would say that if you do want to get into that mix, present yourself as being interested in offensive linemen, because there is a perception, 7 to 15 – or 7 to 20, be a bunch of offensive linemen going, maybe we can trade down and have our cake and eat it too and get that corner or edge rusher we want. That's what.
Well, yes. And while we're talking about this, with all this quarterback stuff going on, real quick back at the studio. Let me hear Art Rooney. This is the Steelers owner. We've been wondering about Aaron Rodgers. This was him yesterday at the NFL annual meetings. And we keep saying, when is Rodgers going to make his decision? This is Rooney on the Rodgers pursuit.
I would say it was a good sign that he wanted to do that, and we keep hearing that he's headed in our direction, and so that seems to be all signs are positive so far.
That was not a robot, I promise. That was Art Rooney, who basically said they keep hearing, the Steelers, that all signs are pointing to Aaron Rodgers coming. That's what he was saying. And they were asking him about, hey, did you hear about Aaron playing catch with DK Metcalf out of UCLA? And he was like, I did hear about it. And then it sounded all weird. But that's what he was talking about. Why is the owner saying that, Mike? Why is Art Rooney saying that he feels like, hey, everything's moving in the right direction. It feels like he's going to be coming our way.
I think the same reason we said, we're only talking about defense. You're placating the fan base.
Yes, sir.
You're giving the fan base the right message. I do think that if I was – by the way, I've asked this five times this week. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I go to Minnesota. It's a better team.
Yeah.
I know it's a tougher division. Actually, it's kind of a push if you believe in Cincinnati getting back on the horse. But certainly with Detroit, with Chicago on the come, Green Bay, that's a tough out. I just think with those wide receivers and the weapons and a coach that you're familiar with the scheme, Aaron Rodgers to Minnesota makes more sense. Do you think it's easier to win in Pittsburgh, though, based on where the division is?
I don't know, man. Ravens? Browns were in the playoffs two seasons ago, right? And then you talk about Joe Burrow. You know how good they were.
But their defense is still gives up 45 points.
But you know, I just feel like that is still, in my opinion, one of the toughest divisions in football.
Right.
I want to read this to you real quick, if I can. Outstanding touch, accuracy, and toughness. Would you want that in your quarterback?
Yeah.
Outstanding touch, accuracy, and toughness.
But if you read down another paragraph, slow release holds on to the football too long.
This is what Daniel Jeremiah is saying about Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
He operates out of the gun, crisp footwork.
But are you going to have him in the gun all the time in the NFL? You got to be under center.
Well, yeah. I mean, we know. I think they operated out of the gun because his offensive line at Colorado was crap.
He's going to get killed.
Knows time and space in the pocket. He throws with a strong platform. My point is, you read these reviews and you start going, this guy, why is everybody talking bad about this guy? Everybody has warts. All of these players. You're not getting a perfect player in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You come into the league, you either develop and get better and you become an elite player, an all-pro, or you come into the league, you stay average and you stay on this plane, or you come into the league and you fail. But like,
you got to be on a good team. You can have all the skills and go to a crap team.
This is true, too.
I mean, Sam Darnold was a joke. He goes to Minnesota all of a sudden. Well, coaching. Until the last 2 weeks of the season, he's all world.
Coaching.
But if you're – like, you were friends – you were in Houston. Who was David Carr, right?
Sacked more than any quarterback in NFL history.
And David Carr had everything that Joe Montana had coming out of college as far as the mechanics.
Skill set, yes.
Skill set, could move in the pocket. If he goes to a bad team, his career's ruined.
Yeah.
I don't know if Zach Wilson goes and gets coached by the 49ers and Shanahan, does he have a different career, you know, as far as arc? I don't know. You're preaching to the choir. I don't think Shedeur Sanders goes beyond three. I think this is some negative sell nonsense that we see every year in the draft from teams who actually want him to fall lower in the top 10.
Overall, Sanders doesn't have elite size, arm strength.
Well, they made who made the
comp? Or athleticism.
Who was it? It was – Hasselbeck made the comp. They said he was like Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Which is basically saying loser. Even though Andy Dalton had 10 good years in the NFL.
Well, I'm just saying. Will Johnson, you interested in him, the corner?
He was injured last year, wasn't he?
He was. He was.
I'd rather have an edge at the corner in the second round.
Okay. I'm with you. I just don't think you can preach we lack edge and then not go get one of those guys.
Right.
All right, man, we got more to get to. Grant McCauley's going to join us. We'll talk about what's going on with the Braves. What's the deal with the lineup tonight with Snit and Weiss? We switch things up. Was this just a function of the road trip, or is he trying to do something different?
I understand that Mark Lemke is batting seventh tonight.
It's Dukes and Bell. All right, let's talk to our buddy Grant McCauley. He covers the Braves for us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and MLB. Grant, first thing is the lineup's a little different tonight. Should Braves fans be freaking out or just looking at this and, you know, and saying, hey, they're trying to do something different?
Yeah, you know when you shake the Magic 8-Ball to get a better response? I don't know if we've reached that point yet, but you definitely needed to maybe make an adjustment or two. So we're seeing a little bit of that. I joked, you know, tongue-in-cheek. It kind of felt like a split squad lineup from spring training. But when you really think about it, the Braves haven't been to Truist Park yet this year. So in a lot of ways, it kind of feels like maybe spring training's just been dragging on, but clearly not. An 0-6 start, the roughest for Atlanta since 2016, and one of the six times in franchise history that they have started 0-6 or worse. So they would very much like to get in the win column, put that little thing behind them, and start digging out of the hole that has gotten a little bit deeper each day so far.
You know, Grant, we said it. It's funny. You took the words out of my mouth. I told Carl, somebody's going to Fort Myers. Somebody's staying in Northport with this lineup. And, like, it's a time-honored tradition, to your point. And, like, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but Carl and I were going round and round with some audience today. Of all the things going on, I think Brian Snicker did an amazing job last year. You know, I thought he should have won the NL Manager of the Year with all the injuries he had to overcome. Guys that are getting after Snicker, I just think they're missing the plot right now.
Yeah, I really don't understand that. I had so many questions today about it. It's like, well, you got to fire this guy or this guy or this guy. I mean, if, you know, some folks had it their way, I mean, they'd like to make wholesale changes right now, but that's not feasible. And it's one of those things where you can do two things. You can react to something or you can respond to something. And the response really right now needs to come on the field for this team. This is not a matter of, you know, the manager's not motivating enough, that the strategy that he's employing, I mean, I think he would like them to hit as well. I mean, and they would like to be doing some hitting, but clearly it's not working right now. So they've got to make those adjustments.
Right.
You know, I've talked a lot about this. Sometimes it's just the small things can get you going. So if you do a lot of the small things right, maybe that starts to compound and you get that momentum rolling again. Because I can promise you this, I will go on the record with this, and what a crazy thing it is. The Braves are going to win some baseball games this year. It may not feel like it right now. They may not look like it right now. They may not be playing their best. But when the only sample you have is as bad as this has been over the first week or so, I understand the frustration and the doom and gloom. But there is a lot of baseball left. While we all may hate the cliches, they're there for a reason. And the Braves have simply got to recalibrate, readjust. It'll help to come home, certainly, and get back to the business of winning baseball games, which I believe they can do. And more importantly, I think they believe they're capable of doing. They've just got to go out there and get it done.
Grant, what did you make of Sale last night? And, you know, you talk about those breaks. It's like the Teoscar Hernandez catch, right? We just that was a break that we needed, and he makes an amazing catch last night in right and then ends up over the wall.
Yeah, and, you know, the Braves, if you're into this whole thing, which a lot of people are, including myself, they're hitting the ball hard, and they hit the ball. I think they had two balls last night that were struck harder than Mookie Betts' two-run home run that put the Dodgers ahead. And it's little things right now that are happening for the opposition. Not that Mookie Betts isn't otherworldly talented. I think we know that. But things just aren't going that way for the Braves right now. So it's not necessarily how hard you hit it, but where you hit it is also true. But I don't think that the Braves are as bad as the numbers tell you that they are right now in terms of the actual talent and being able to start turning it into results. But there's just a lot of things that aren't working for them right now, and good old-fashioned luck may be one of those things.
Yeah, Carl touched on it with Drake Baldwin. He can't catch a break.
Yep.
And by the way, do you feel, because it's one thing, and we said this earlier, generally when you're a rookie in a really good baseball team, you're coming up to a team which you're surrounded by really good players, and Drake Baldwin is. They're just not hitting. So he just becomes another guy who can't even get to 100 right now. Is this going to mess with his head, and we're going to see Sean Murphy ASAP?
I don't think that they're going to make any, you know, knee-jerk reactions about Murphy based on anything we're seeing statistically from Drake Baldwin. He has impressed people from spring training right on through the first week of the season. He is doing the job he needs to do behind the plate. And I think that this is just, it's some on-the-job training that certainly comes with it. But I'll tell you this, that really impressed me about Drake Baldwin, because I asked him about his season last year. He was at Double-A Mississippi. Numbers didn't really look that good. But then he got to Triple-A, and all of a sudden it's, wow, a 400 on base, and he's hitting 300, and where are all these home runs coming from? I mean, you knew he had power, but it was a totally different player. So I asked him about that, and he said, you know, Mississippi and that park, that Trustmark Park, was very, very tough on hitters. He said, you could do a lot of things right and still not be rewarded for it. So I just stuck with what I was doing, and the results eventually showed up. That's pretty heady stuff from a young player recognizing that, hey, the numbers are important, but I can't get lost in those and lose my way at the plate with my work and with my approach. And by the way, I think he has an incredible approach at the plate, and ultimately he's going to be rewarded, I think, at the big league level for the way that he goes about his business.
I don't want to say he could be a stopper tonight, but that's the only way you could describe it, right? I mean, Bryce Elder, he could be. Tell me what his tell me what his stuff looked like, what you saw or what you heard from spring training that maybe we'll see a little bit of tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look, with Bryce, I think it's kind of been a Jekyll and Hyde act, and it's been that way for a while. It's not like this is a pitcher that, you know, doesn't have the ability to go out and navigate, I'll use that word, five innings for you and keep you in the ball game. But he has to live on the margins. We talked about this, even at his most successful in the first half of 2023, this is not a guy who's going to overpower you. I think if he's able to keep the ball down and able to utilize his off speed and really pitch to his spots, hit his spots, and remain in that game plan, you know, it's stranger things have happened than Bryce Elder having a good start. They just haven't been as frequent as they were in the first half of 2023. So we talked about sample sizes earlier. Clearly for Bryce Elder, that has not been what he's wanted it to be. The sample size from pretty much the final 2-3 months of 2023 all the way through last year, though I will stipulate, to play devil's advocate, that going up and down from the majors to the minors every couple of starts and waiting 7, 8, 9 days between starts certainly doesn't set you up for success. So there's a lot of different things that are in there, but bottom line is the Braves need him to go out there and give them a good enough start to hand over a manageable game to that bullpen. But I don't know if it matters how anybody pitches if your offense can't figure out a way to score. And the only way they got on the board last night was an absolute gift from Mookie Betts losing the handle on the ball on what should have been a double play.
Yep. I mean, when we start invoking the 1942 Boston Braves as far as
1940, 1919, 1988,
1980. You know, Grant, I told Carl earlier, you know, the fun part, the only fun part about talking about the Braves, we educated millennials and Gen Xers or Zers that there was a Boston Braves. No one ever knew.
And, well, 1940 was a Boston Bees team. They weren't even the Braves at that point. They didn't switch back for another couple of years. So
wow.
A little bit of extra history for you. So I also had somebody tell me, you know, the Braves weren't as good in Boston and in Milwaukee. But in Milwaukee, they were there for 13 years. They never had a losing record.
Yeah,
so
right.
Just some interesting trivia for you.
And by the way, Grant, I'm not trying to turn you into John Dewberry and talk real estate. But any idea? A lot of Braves fans are like, okay, you're struggling, and then we get a press release that just bought some real estate across I-75. They're calling it Pennant Park. Now, I don't know if there's going to be more parking or they're going to expand the battery, but, you know, with all due respect to the Braves and Atlanta Braves Holding, of which I am a shareholder, full disclosure, not the time to drop that press release when we could probably use some other things on the ball club. Do you have any idea what the real estate move is?
Yeah, no, not really, but I will tell you this, just to speak to some of the, I guess, response that you get from shareholders or non-shareholders probably.
Okay.
The optics of it, not exactly what you want to see. Oh, well, the Braves clearly have money to spend in different places, but maybe could have spent for another starter, another bullpen piece, a shortstop, whatever the case is. And look, that criticism is fair, I believe, and fans are allowed to certainly voice their opinion on what their club needs to do. But yeah, maybe not the best time, given what's going on the field, to make that announcement, but I'm sure that those wheels were in motion long before the Braves went on a bender out on the West Coast.
Yeah. All right. We'll see what happens with that. Grant, we're going to get a chance to talk to you. Tomorrow's an off day.
Thank God.
And then we get Friday, the home opener. Listen, if we win tonight, I'll feel a lot better about, you know, Friday.
Right. I mean, that's, and we're going to whip the Marlins.
But we're going to get a chance to see you in person Friday as you're going to come by Merce and hang out with us. By the way, we've not announced this, but a very special guest is going to come by Merce and join us on Friday. I'm not saying who. I'm just telling you, you need to tune in and make sure you're checking us out on Friday.
Jeff Blauser?
From Mervs. It's going to be really cool. I'll tell you that. It's going to be cool. So, Grant, thanks so much, man. We'll see what happens tonight, and I'm with Grant. Let's not panic, even though we're
panicking. No, let's panic. Let's freak out.
We're panicking. All right, Grant, take care.
All right,
guys at the bar.
Panic. I'll see you guys Friday.
Yeah,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Grant. Guys at the bar, you want to be cool and just measured with the Braves, or you want to freak out and panic? Panic, Carl, the people who spoke.
You answer me. These guys look cool and calm, collected. What are you talking about?
No, let's go set our hair on fire and dance around and freak out. It's bad, man. Bad things, man.
You know,
game
what?
Over, man.
Game over. It feels that way. But we're not out of this thing. Not yet. All right, we're coming back. We got more to get to. We're hanging out at Buffalo's Cafe in Cumming. So many cool people that have come out here today and we've had a chance to hang out with. We'd love to see you, but you've got, 10 minutes to get here. All right? It's Dukes and Bell.
We're some real pretty s*** now, man.
You finished.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
All right. Sorry, I was talking with some of the higher-ups here at Buffalo's Cafe, and they were discussing what a hit it was today. I said, well, this is what we do. I mean, come on. It's Dukes and Bell. It's what we do. So, anyways, that's what was going on behind the scenes. Hey, man, I will say this. Tomorrow, we're back in studio. Friday, was just saw a couple of listeners I hadn't seen in a while, and they came up from Alpharetta because they live up this way. But we're going to be at the Braves home opener. We've been talking a lot about the Braves today. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will be there, and you can join us at MRFs because that's where we'll be broadcasting from, in the Cobb Galleria. And if you've never been over there, Mike and I always talk about it. It's so easy to park and then walk over to the game from MRFs. And so if you've never been over there, come through, hang out with us. Great food, drinks. We got some special guests. I am being serious about that are going to stop by. And we're going to get you ready for the home opener, man. So it's brought to you by Verizon, by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free. And then also by Racetrack, where whatever gets you going. So, Mike, we're looking forward to that on Friday.
Yeah, man. We'll get some cheese curds. We'll make some friends. And I don't know. You know, I'm going to change it up. I think I'm going to go old school, like retro, early 80s Braves.
Okay.
In honor of Dale. We'll wear some old Murph stuff. It's, man, we need something.
We need something.
You know, matter of fact, on a Friday night, don't they wear the red? Is it red or is it the old 70s? Something. Change it up.
That's a good idea.
We need some juju and some mojo for this Braves team. And I do think there has been, and Grant touched on it, when things are a little sideways, you know, people start reaching. And sometimes reaching a little too far, you know, for what we should be doing. And look, I just don't think the Snicker's the issue. I mean, it's like the same folks saying if we should fire Snicker. Should you fire Hires, the hitting instructor?
No.
Because they haven't hit anything? After Seitzer got fired after last year's, like, meltdown? And a year before that, they had the best hitting team in baseball. Remember, 2023. So, got to ride it out. Carl said it the other day. At that time, we were only four in. You said 158. But, you know, we keep passing these thresholds of, like, the worst team since Calvin Coolidge was president.
Yes.
Right now, we're at FDR. You know, if we lose another one, then we are getting into the 20s. So it's a bit sobering. But you did draw the short straw of the Major League Baseball schedule with the Padres and Dodgers.
Yeah.
But you also, you know, if we're honest, you know, you're going to camp. The Profar thing, you think – I mean, I know we – can't quantify it. You think that was a distraction, or at least all of a sudden now a guy you're banking on being at the top of the lineup? How do guys react to that in the clubhouse? I don't even know.
I don't know either. I mean, look, we didn't see him hit 30 home runs and drive in 95 or whatever it might have been for right. Profar. He'll be back in late June. But the expectation was there that he was going to do what he did for the Padres last season. And right. Now that's gone. So whatever, let's just say, Mike, because that's why you signed him. That's why you gave him $42 million, right? That production was supposed to be there. It's gone. Ronaldo Lopez had an unbelievable season for you last year.
He gone.
That production is gone. Okay.
They are intimating he may be able to return.
Well, exploratory.
But still.
Surgery.
Arthroscopic surgery. Most folks around Major League Baseball are going, you had a guy that was a relief pitcher for many years. You try to get him back into a starting role. And no blank Sherlock, now his elbow's jacked, yeah. Or his shoulder's
shoulder,
jacked.
Shoulder, yeah. And we don't know. You're right. If he's back sooner than later, right. Great. But right now, if I'm the general manager, if I'm AA, I'm going, that's gone.
That's not an option, right?
No Acuna for the first month of the season. We're already 0-7. Okay. Strider, I don't see him until May, probably. Okay,
when's put that aside. Ronald Acuna coming?
Well, that's what I just said. Like, you're not going to see him until May. You start to add all of this up, and you start to say, okay, how do I survive – and stay not only competitive, but, you know, try to get back to 500. And so the Ronaldo Lopez injury just put a damper in your starting pitching situation. It just did, man. I mean, forget right. about what you think about these other guys and who they're bringing up or who they might, you know, throw in a spot start. That was one of the guys you were counting on. It was supposed to be Sale, Strider,
I know.
And Lopez, right? Just based on what you got off last year from him. And right now it just feels like that's not going to happen anytime soon. So you lose two starts with Chris Sale on the hill, who was last year's Cy Young Award winner. And he didn't pitch bad last night, by the way.
Right. And generally when you're struggling, there's always a guy who's kind of like the stopgap. You know, he's the guy, okay, I got this tonight. And, again, when you hold the Dodgers to – by the way, if in any other world, Carl, holding the Dodgers to three runs is a win.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but unfortunately, their pitchers were better. And our guys – and then there's that degree of the mental aspect you talked about, the flailing, struggling, pushing. That's why Snicker says, hey, some of you guys are off tonight. We'll put the B team in.
Yeah, let them get out.
And maybe get a spark. That doesn't preclude these guys from perhaps pinch hitting tonight in some big roles.
Sure. And if you're wondering what we're talking about, Albies is leading off. The first few games, that was Profar. We now know he's gone. Then it turned to Money Harris. Money's out of the lineup tonight. And some guys having a problem with that, Mike. They're like, wait a minute. If we're struggling, why is Money out of the lineup?
Because when your leadoff hitter's batting 118, you got to sit him. You know, I mean, guys, the leading hitter on the team is batting .214. Okay, that's Marcell Ozuna from the Braves.
Ozuna from the Braves. He's hitting second. Riley third. Olsen fourth. De La Cruz is in left field, followed by Nick Allen, who's at shortstop. Some of these names don't sound familiar. I understand. Stuart Fairchild is in right field. Chadwick Trump behind the plate tonight. Eli White is in center field. So that's what it looks like. And it doesn't feel like, oh, they're going to be able to do anything. You never know. You do different lineups and you see what happens. But earlier start time tonight, by the way, for the Braves, and then they're off tomorrow. All right, a couple other things before we get out of here, Mike, as we've been talking about a bunch of things today. And tomorrow, by the way, we're going to talk to our man D. Orlando Ledbetter. He had a chance to be at the NFL annual meetings.
That's right, Mike. They're still selling. The Cousins are going to be on the team this summer.
He's not going to be on the team.
No, but Arthur Blank was still, if you listen to our conversation, we replayed Steve Weiss from NFL Network, sat down with Arthur down at Palm Beach, and Arthur was still toting the company line, for lack of a better word, about Cousins' future here.
This Trey Hendrickson thing, though, Mike, disappointed by the Bengals' stance with the contract?
I mean, they're doing the Dolphins' playbook. The Dolphins haven't won jack, okay? And the Bengals, you went to the Super Bowl 3 years ago. You haven't been back, and your defense is terrible. And you're going to basically have a very disenfranchised, unhappy edge rusher who happens to be the best one in the league right now. I would give my entire draft class. It ain't much.
It is, isn't it?
It's a one, it's a two, it's four and two sevens. I'd give it all for Trey Hendrickson. And then you hope the other guys develop.
Yeah.
And let's get and you bring it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Matt Thompson from Cartoon Network, who wants to hire me back again, girl, please.
Oh,
but no. But no. It's going to be Dukes and Bell on Archer 2. We'll get you a part 2.
Let's do it.
No, we just get so frustrated as Falcon fans because you want Cousins to – I just think Falcon fans have to just temper their expectations and just assume we're just going to not get anything for him this year.
All right.
And he's got the final say in that.
No, he does.
Arthur Blank can say everything he wants. He's got the veto. He's got the right of trade refusal.
Since you're talking about the draft real quick, we got to get three starters. Seriously.
I need three starters,
three?
You knuckleheads.
And I say that, but
you can't, not with our draft
Well,
picks.
But I don't think so either. Mike, you got to think about the guys that are coming back, and Raheem Morris alluded to this, right? The Trices, how much playing time are these guys going to absorb and actually be starters for you? I know we talk about this all the time. Look, whoever we pick in the first round has got to be an impact player. I don't give a damn where we're picking 15, 18.
Edge, corner, doesn't matter. Whatever he's going to be.
But to talk
offensive
about
tackle.
Like that fourth round pick, not so much, right? The seventh round pick, you're rolling. You're at the craps table. We're rolling the dice.
And you got 2 7th rounders. You know, can you trade the 2 7th rounders to become a 6th round? I don't know. I mean, we're talking semantics.
So realistically, and I'm only saying this because I know we talk about this, but I don't know if we get 3 starters out of this draft. Now, I do think we need an impact player in the first round because you can't screw that up if you're Terry Fontenot.
We are a very similar scenario to 2016 where the offense is pretty much primed and loaded. We believe in Michael Penix Jr.
Yep.
In a small sample size. But your defense is not great. And remember, 2015, going in, even the year we went to the Super Bowl, we were 27, 28 in all the major metrics. You know, rush defense, pass defense, total scoring. It was not a great defense. And unfortunately, it just broke down in the second half because the offense kept getting three and outs. But I'd have to remind you about Super Bowl 51. We do need to get some impact players. So that goes against the Trey Hendrickson argument, although he's the ultimate force multiplier.
If you can, he is.
But there's got to be some phone calls on draft night to Trey Hendrickson, right? There's got to be.
Well, it doesn't look like they're going to pay him. That's why I'm bringing this up, guys.
Guys, by the way, he's in the last year of his contract. You would be giving a guy who would be 31 a minimum 3-year deal.
Yes. And front-loaded, though.
Yes. Signing bonus, you could make that work for you. And I think I know you talked about this a few weeks ago. Don't be scared off of the Judon thing. You know, Leonard Floyd is an upgrade. Leonard Floyd is a solid professional.
Yes, yes.
He doesn't have the Pro Bowls, but he's got a ring. He knows Raheem's defense. But I know what your argument was. But man, we've still got to get the best edge rusher right now, who's 21 and ready to go kill somebody.
All right, I believe, and Turtle, correct me if I'm wrong. Turtle's got the Bridge Show tonight. Hawks basketball coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Speaking of disappointing.
Oh, geez. Well, they're back at it. Turtle Bridge Show, 7 to 8. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you, Turtle. That sounded like Orin in my ear.
I think Turtle's prepping right now. He's so excited about this tonight. He's wearing long pants tonight.
All right. Hawks, by the way, on the road against the Mavericks. They're not any good either, Mike. But the Mavs are a 3-point favorite. Look, I'm done saying these teams are bad and we need to beat them and we should be beating them. We hadn't beat any of these bad teams.
No, a loss to the Blazers last night, we shot 21%?
It's bad.
We're like, it was beyond
from three.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Couldn't hit anything from three. Trey did what he was supposed to do. The other guys, the bench was terrible. No bench score. We talk a lot about like when LeVert was hot. This is a team which I don't want to lie to our audience.
No, you can't.
I ain't going to lie to you. But every time I try to convince myself, we just get to the cusp of 500 and we take two steps back.
Two steps back.
That's the team.
And the Hawks are in deep, deep doo-doo.
Thank you, Steve.
Holman's words, not mine.
He used doo-doo? Steve?
And the Hawks are in deep, deep doo-doo.
And that's what Steve steps in with his dog, Teddy. His beautiful golden doodle.
Oh, that's great. All right, man, we got to get out of the way. Let's clear our throat.
And the Hawks are in deep, deep doo-doo.
First and foremost, thank you guys for coming out here. If you stopped in today, whether you're at home, whether you came by, thank you guys. Without you, there is no us. So we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. What a great crowd, man.
What a great-looking audience. Even you, Alex. What a crew to see out here.
It really was. So thank you guys first and foremost. Secondly, big shout-out back at the studio, Big O. Thank you for keeping us on track. And Turtle as well. If you want to hear our conversation, well, us yelling at each other.
It was a barn burner.
You can go online, odyssey.com. It's posted out there. And listen, we're frustrated with this Braves team, which led us down this path of whatever it was, Mike. I don't even know what to call it. But listen, it was spirited.
All right. At the end of the day, the nexus of the argument was, I wish the Braves would spend as much as it needs to compete with the elites. How about that?
We are elites.
We're not. We have no time. We got to get off the air. Terry McGurk
and Braves. We're spending money.
Hey, spend that money on the parking lot? No, spend that money on some frontline pitching, you cheap son of a gun.
All right, it's out there. Go check it out. Hey, Slim, thank you, our on-site engineer, as always. And we got to give a shout-out. Jersey Mike's mom stopped by. I know we told you guys.
That woman is a saint.
She is. And just for her, she's on her way to South Carolina. She's like, Mike, who's in New York now.
Right.
Said, I got to stop by, and she did. So I know you're listening. If you can still hear us, thank you so much. All right, Mike Bell, we're back at it tomorrow, back in studio Friday at Murph's. Come on out and join us. We'll be getting ready for the home opener, that is. All right, Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, we learned yesterday that the tush push, banning it, was been tabled.
Yes.
Now, I later found out when they table something, that means Roger Goodell wants to kill it, and it's going to be dead. So the tush push is going away. Look, I hate Philadelphia with every fiber of my being. Not if you're from there, not your fault. Well, maybe it is. Either way, Carl, they came up with something that really was a better way to get the job done. And there's so many teams in the NFL. Speaking for us Falcon fans, how many years have we seen us screw up short yardage, right? So they found a way to do it. They got a quarterback who's athletic and a great offensive line. To me, banning that play, it's un-American. It goes against the rules. But Roger Goodell and his people, they saw that NFC championship. They saw that four-play sequence with the Commanders. And they never want to see that again on television.
I told you we were in trouble with the Braves, didn't I? Didn't I say that yesterday?
You said that, man.
And then we lost again last night, and I said, here we go. And then today, we get on our phone call, and I got to tell you guys this. All the entire show, I can't believe we're losing like this. We're 0-7. What are we going to do? Oh, so now you're concerned, Atlanta. We're 0-7. Can we win a game tonight?
Who's pitching?
Bryce Elder?
No.
Hey, if you love the show.
Tell your friends.
You don't?
Your team is so good at buying real estate.
You're terrible. You answer me.